Okay, so one of the parts of the week that was most significant for me was the prayer tour we took on Monday night that a few people have talked about. And so we drove around the city in the van, and Dan told us what was happening in various places. And so some of it was really uplifting because we got to see the work and the ministries that were all around the cities, and it was just really cool to see all the different ways that God was working. However, a lot of it was really heartbreaking to see, like when he explained about the high levels of poverty and injustice and a lot of the situations that people were living in. And like when we drove through Skid Row, it was just absolutely devastating. And one of the clearest images for me was when Dan said that there was like this line, and it was when we were crossing over from the financial district into like the outer like areas of Skid Row, and you just saw this like extreme dichotomy of living situations, and it was just like so close to each other, and it just revealed to me how intense the inequality was, and it made me really guilty and sad and helpless and really angry. And so I was kind of like, oh shoot, is this how the trip's gonna go? I'm just gonna be super like mad the whole time. But I was just really confused at how God had allowed it to happen. However, something Dan said later in the week on Thursday night during one of our devos, it kind of clarified everything for me and put what I'd experienced on Monday into perspective. And so he read us Psalm 139, which talks about how God created us in our mother's womb, and how he knows our inmost being, and how precious we all are to God. And he told us to switch in like anyone's name when it says like I and me and my, and it can kind of show us a glimpse at how deeply God loves each of his children. And to me, that helped me realize that those divisions that I'd seen on Monday night, and those divisions that we see every day in between people, they're just earthly divisions and they're physical, but God doesn't see those divisions. And I mean, I still want to help and try to like lessen the suffering and whatever, and help out in missions and stuff, but those are just here on earth, and when we go into heaven, none of those exist anymore. And God loves us no matter where we are, and it was really cool to see that God deeply, intimately, and passionately loves every one of us. And so it was really cool to see people through God's eyes and see people in that way, and to love them not even close to as much as God loved them, but quite a lot. So that was what I got from the mission.
All right, so hi everyone. I'm Zach Castle, if you don't know who I am. So I'm briefly going to share with you something I learned while in LA. So during the trip, God opened up my eyes on an issue I didn't want to address. The issue was compassion and the way I viewed homeless people. I'd try to block them out of my vision and would like try to go on with my day. Well, I don't think God liked that, so he opened up my eyes. I learned that God loves everyone, and that I am commanded to love everyone as well. The conversations and interactions I had with the homeless people really like changed how I viewed them. I learned that a lot of them, there's reasons they were homeless and that they're just really friendly people. It's sad that our society views them as bad or outcasts. That's why I believe a simple hi, hello, handshake, or even having a nice conversation can make a huge difference in their lives. Every person is a child of God, and we should treat them accordingly. Pastor Mark challenged us to memorize Philippians 2, 1 through 17, and a couple of the verses really stuck out to me. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of the others. Your attitude should be the same of that of Christ Jesus. The trip has really left some like huge impacts on my life, and a new perspective on people and how I should view them. And yeah, I'm very grateful I went.
So we had a great trip. Got to spend a lot of time with my teammates, trapped in a van for many hours, squishing rotten cucumbers, having deep conversations late at night on the basketball court, and coming up with way too many quotes to fit on the t-shirt. So far, this sounds like an extended retreat, not a mission trip. True, we did have fun along the way, but it was definitely not just a retreat. On retreats, we retreat from the rest of the world. We remove ourselves from the world so that we can focus on God. Here we plunged in. We saw the world as it is for some of our brothers and sisters in Christ. In downtown LA, parks are not just for kids, but for gangs. In some places, you can't walk down the sidewalk without barging through someone's living space. Why don't they have a place to stay? Well, it's impossible to live anywhere in downtown LA on $1,000 a month. We checked. Let alone the 280-something that most people get on a government welfare check. The affordable housing has a 6 to 9 month waiting list. There are places that serve meals to the homeless, but only lunch is good. Breakfast and dinner are hit and miss. Kids don't have good schools, so they fail standardized tests, so they drop out and join gangs in elementary school. The list just goes on. But though the problems faced by our brothers and sisters in LA are many and varied, so are the things that God is doing there. Teens are homeless. My friend's place offers them a safe haven and helps them rebuild trust in other people. People are enslaved by drugs. The Los Angeles Mission helps them put their lives back together. Las Familias and Red Shield both minister to kids who would otherwise spend their free time on the streets. Project Angel Food feeds those who are homebound by illness. The list just goes on. We spent an hour Monday night driving around LA and praying for all that God is doing there. He's surely the God of that city. God is the God of this city as well. He is at work here too.
Well, I'm the one that asked for the music stand, so I'm going to use it. So I'm coming down to this side. I'm also a hand talker, Tristan, so I can't have my hands full. All right. The story of the Bible goes something like this. The world is broken, but God is fixing it through Jesus and through his people. And we saw both sides of that story real clearly in LA. Skid Row feels like a place of hopelessness. The despair is overwhelming and the darkness is oppressive. But in the midst of that, we met people who live among the darkness so that they can bring hope and healing to the people. And we heard stories about the difference Jesus has made in the lives of people that used to live in despair. I read an article once by a psychology professor somewhere about pain and beauty, and it was summed up in this, that beauty can only be seen when projected on the backdrop of pain. And that is what we saw down there. Also, our students were that beauty. Before we left, Mark mentioned we all memorized Philippians 2. And part of it talks about God's children shining like stars in the universe as they hold out the word of life. And I got to see our students be those shining stars. This Pastries in the Park activity that you've heard about, this was one of those experiences where when I heard we were doing this project, I thought, oh, I hate being a youth leader. And then by the end of it, when I saw Zach with his hand on a man's shoulder praying for him and for his children, I thought, oh, I love being a youth leader. This was just, I did not expect to like this activity, but it was amazing. My group, so three students and I, met this woman named Nazareth, an elderly woman sitting in the park with all her belongings, and I can't stop thinking about her. But she was moved to tears when I told her that these teenagers had come out of the suburbs and into the city to get to know people and learn from people who are different from them and to find out how they can show Jesus' love. And through her tears, she quoted a Bible verse. It took her a long time to find it in her mind, but she knew what she wanted to say. And she quoted from Romans 8:19. She said, "The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." And I kind of wondered why this was the verse that she wanted to say, but she said it over and over again to each one of the students. She looked right at them and said, "The creation waits in expectation for the children of God to be revealed." And she said, "That's you. You are here." But you gotta hear it with the verse before it. So in its context, it says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." And the passage goes on to talk about the restoration of this broken world and how God's children play a part. Right? The glory is revealed in and through God's children. And Nazareth could see, this woman could see, in the midst of her suffering, she could see the glimpse of that glory and the hope of restoration in these teenagers that had come. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful pain. There was a lot of that. So we all have so much more to share. So I do encourage you to find these students and ask them what they wish they could have said if they had been given more than 2.5 minutes. But now I'm going to turn the mic over to Kevin, who's going to introduce the Latvalas to us so we can hear what God is doing in and through them in their part of the world.